How are y'all doing today? I'm excited because today I get to start off talking about my wife, and I love talking about my wife. What, y'all don't like talking about y'all's spouses? No? We'll work on that. You see, what I love about my wife is she teaches first grade. And every year I get to have this awesome adventure with her as her husband, because we go in and we take all the stuff in her class and we work to set it up, and all the letters and the numbers and the decorations. It's overwhelming for her, but it's fun for me because I get to leave. She works hard. Can I tell y'all how hard she works on trying to be these creative themes that she puts together? This year she's doing Mary Poppins, and all of her kids' names are on the umbrellas. It's awesome. It really is awesome. But you know what's really fun about this is she has a job chart. You guys ever seen these kindergarten job charts? They have things like line leader and caboose. You know how hard it is to keep first graders in line? They have things like germinator for the ones that get to squirt the hand sanitizer, or materials manager who's in charge of pencils and crayons and getting paper. The electrician, can y'all guess what they do? What do they do, Sydney? They turn off the lights. That's right. Thank you, girl. I appreciate you. So remember, every one of you is an electrician. Remember to turn your lights off. But you know what my favorite one is? Is the well-wisher. The well-wisher man gets to greet kids in the morning and encourage them and send them off in the afternoon with good thoughts. You know, they're more important than just jobs. They help kids take ownership of their classroom. Have you thought about that? They're not just busy things. They're things that help the classroom to function and work in unity. We call them KSAs. You familiar with that term? Knowledge, skills, and abilities? KSAs are what many employers use to look to hire people. They look at whether or not you're going to be a good fit, and if you have the skill set and the abilities to help an organization succeed. When God designed the church, he also thought of KSAs. We call them spiritual gifts. We call them spiritual gifts. These are the things that God equips us for the success of the church, and more importantly, things that help us advance the kingdom. Do you know that these gifts are not just about work, though? They're not just about work. They're about unity as well. You see, today we're going to continue looking. We've been talking about unity and working together, and we're going to continue that path today by looking at the church and the importance of unity through spiritual gifts. These gifts given to us as individuals so that the church body can be whole. And if you'll pray with me today, we're going to get into Ephesians chapter 4 again. So let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father God, full of grace, Lord, blessed is your name. Lord, we thank you for the love that was poured out on Calvary for us. For it is out of that great love that we get to gather in your name. And so, Lord, we gather today knowing that this virus is still keeping people from joining us. So we ask that you bless those who are not with us and who are joining us by other methods as well. And Lord, we thank you for the reading of your word. Father God, there is much fear in our land. We know only that a reverent fear of the Almighty God, creator of all things, that's the only fear that we should have. The fear that we see around us, Lord, is not of you. And so, Lord, we ask that you bind that fear. Fear that is not of you, Lord, but of the devil. But your word tells us if we resist the devil, he will flee from us. For the devil has no victory. He's already been defeated by the blood of the Lamb shed for us through Jesus Christ. Lord, you have bound this body together with your spirit. Let us now receive the word from you so that we walk in your ways, thanking you and giving you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory in your precious Son's name. Amen. Amen. Hey, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4. So if you've got whatever you're going to use to follow along with us, we're going to begin in verse 7. If you don't have something with us, we're going to pop the words on the screen. Hey, looky there. It's a job chart. Clever. Ephesians 7 says this. It says, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. That is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. Skip down to verse 11. It says, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, becoming mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will all in all things grow into him who is the head. That is Christ. And from him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Three things I want you guys to take away from today, right, is one, we are all gifted. We are all gifted. Two, there's a variety of gifts for us, for each one of us. And then the purpose of these gifts, finally, the purpose of these gifts is to build up the body in unity. All right, you ready to go? Look, oh, the screen changed. Hey, listen, we are all gifted. He says in verse 7, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. That is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to man. You know, have y'all ever heard of the Church of the Savior? It's Church of the Savior's a kind of a non-denominational church. It started out in Washington, D.C. There's like 8 churches. And it says this as part of their charter. As part of their charter documents is what we have the team right now working on in here in our church. It says this. It says, on the ship of the church, there are no passengers, only members of the crew. You guys, it says this to each one of us. This is what the Bible just said to us. It says to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Each one of us shares in this grace that Christ gives. Now, I'm not talking about the unmerited favor that grace comes to us through salvation. No, he's talking about an apportioned grace. A gift. It's been given in measure. Do you know, Paul speaks over 100 times. Paul speaks of the term grace in his letters, but only 15 times he mentions grace as a gift. This grace that we're talking about here. Ephesians 3:8, it says this. It says, although Paul says this about himself, he says this. He says, I am less than the least of all God's people. This grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. His gift was preaching. Look around, man. Each one of us makes up this one body, one faith family. And it's just one of the things that the world does not get about us. They don't understand about our faith. You see, even though we are all cut from the same cloth of Jesus Christ, we are not the same. We have cultural differences. We have temperament differences. We have personality differences. But because of the gifts that Christ has given to each one of us, what does that mean? It means every one of us is important. Every one of us is important. That means that we can never allow anybody to feel useless or insignificant in the life of the church. Little Jamie was trying out for a play at school, and his mom was really nervous because it wasn't going to look good in her eyes. She kind of knew her son, but he was going to try out for the main character anyway. And he goes through the audition, and the parts were all awarded to the children, and Jamie's mom went to pick him up, and she was thinking of all the things that she was going to try to say to console him for not getting the main part, because she knew he was going to be terribly disappointed. But when Jamie saw his mom, he ran to her and he said, guess what? Because he was so full of pride and his eyes were lit up. And he says, guess what, mom? I've been chosen to clap and cheer. Every one of us is important. Even those who just sit on the sidelines and clap and cheer and encourage. You know, Peter gives us a great example of this at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came in a rush like a mighty wind and appeared, you know, in the flames that descended on him. And he says this about him. He says, this is exactly what Jesus promised. If you go back to Acts 2, he says, now he exalted to a place of highest honor in heaven and sits at God's right hand. And the Father, as he had promised, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour out upon us, just as you see and here today. Jesus gave them, the apostles, man, he gave them the Holy Spirit that day. You know what's so cool about this? It's that same Spirit that was given to all those guys at Pentecost resides in each one of us. That same gift by Christ was given to us. You see, Christ gives us the gifts we need. And we receive those same gifts for the unity and the growing of the church. So we all have gifts. Second, I want to talk about the variety of the gifts. The variety of the gifts. He says this in verse 11. He says, it was he who gave some to the apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, some to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. It may, on the surface, when you read that verse, it may seem like Paul has drifted from what he's talking about, because he identifies specific people. And he talks about the gifts that were given upon them. But what I want you to see here is all of those gifts are necessary for building the church. They're necessary for the success of all of us as the body of Christ. Think about this, family. In every aspect of our lives, we have had people placed in our lives that teach us. We have had parents and grandparents and teachers and mentors and bosses. And they teach us how to function in society. And they teach us how to be polite and courteous and respectful. Or maybe they taught us about athletics or music. Maybe somebody in here, maybe you guys in here, I had somebody to teach you math and science. And at the time you're like, well, I'm never going to use this. Unless you're going to be a youth pastor and you're going to use salt. You know what we do now? Now our grandkids are teaching us how to use our cell phones. Never stop learning. You see, when it comes to the function of the church, we're not like every other business. We have this unique mission to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love others as ourselves, to go into the world and make disciples, teaching them to be witnesses for him to the ends of the earth. So let me ask you, are you prepared for those roles? Are you prepared? So Jesus Christ assigned these gifts to help equip us, the saints, for the works of the ministry. He names them apostles and prophets, evangelists and pastors and teachers. Apostles, those who had seen Christ and had been sent out by him to preach the gospel, working on behalf of the kingdom, to the original founders and building and laying the foundation of the church. Evangelists, we know them. We know them as the people who travel around preaching the gospel. Or more importantly, we know them as missionaries and church planters. The prophets, we automatically assume that those were the people that God spoke to foretell the future as God directed. But if you read the prophets, they were about lifting people up and encouraging them and strengthening God's people. And then pastors and teachers who have been charged with equipping the local church. Can I tell you at home I have three gifts? God has equipped me for three gifts at home. You know what they are? Taking out the trash. Opening jars. And because my wife's short, reaching things on high shelves. Those are my spiritual gifts at home. I'm sorry, was that... That word equip in the context of our passage means to make adequate, or going even further, it means to fully prepare or train unto completion. But these aren't the only gifts. The ones that are mentioned right here are not the only gifts. We have in Romans 12, we have prophecy, exhortation, which is just another fancy word for encouragement, by the way. Teaching. Contributing. What? Yes, there is a spiritual gift for being a giver. Spiritual gift for leadership and mercy. You go over to 1 Corinthians 12 and you find it again. We hear about gifts of administration and healing and helping and other gifts of service. These gifts are necessary for not just their unity, helping us grow together. How many of us have had a boss that we like, man, how did he ever get to be a boss? He knows nothing. Come on, everybody in here's got that leak. Tony's over going, if you only knew. We'll talk later. I know what you're thinking. Seriously. Think about this. If this church, right, because we run by volunteers, right? Let's say, you guys know Judy's our comptroller, right? You know how talented this woman is with numbers, and you're so gifted. Let's take, I don't know, who wants to be comptroller? Exactly, thank you. If we put somebody in as comptroller that didn't know how to work numbers, just imagine the turmoil that it would create. Imagine if we had somebody who wasn't gifted in administration and we put them in charge of we'd be running around pulling our hair out. We're not to serve in capacity that creates confusion and frustration, but bring us together. Paul reminds us this in 1 Corinthians. He says, we've given you gifts, but you should earnestly desire higher gifts. It means we need to grow. We should be able to, you go on later, he says, you should no longer be like spiritual infants drinking from that milk. He said, you should all be able to teach. Those are higher gifts. We need to be moving from infancy to maturation. Because I promise you, in all the churches I've worked at, I've had so many people come up to me and say, well, you know, Pastor, I'm just not gifted in evangelism. I get that. I get people coming up to me and say, well, you know, Pastor, I'm just not gifted in, you know, fill in the blank, put whatever you want in there. And you know, in all the churches I have ever worked in, of the thousands of people that I have worked with, I have yet to meet anyone with the spiritual gift of toddler and nursery ministry. Come on, y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. That surprised me. But see, God already thought of that too. God already had thought about that, because that's why he empowered the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 12:11, he says, it is one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts, and he alone decides which gift each person should have. It means not everybody has them, but if the church is lacking in one area, the Holy Spirit equips that one person to necessary to fulfill that function in the church so it can grow. And that means in working in the toddler room. So if you're feeling the Spirit move in you right now, I'm sure Joe would love to hear from you after service. So these are the gifts that we have. Finally, I want to talk about the purpose of gifts, and those the purpose of, towards unity. It says this in verse 13. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants working in the toddler room, being tossed back and forth by the waves, blown there and here and there by the wind of teaching and the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. And from him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. This passage begins with the word until. It means that learning and utilizing our gifts is a process. One of the commentators that I refer to and have studied is Bruce Barton. He says, unity in the spirit is one that must be maintained. Unity in our faith is one that must be achieved. It means we're supposed to grow together. We're supposed to grow together. You see, family, unity to faith means a unity of belief in Christ himself. That's what a unity of faith is. It means that this belief relates fundamentally to the intimate knowledge that we have of who Jesus Christ is and how his relationship is to the Father. Not just in knowledge, but in experience. And we continue to grow in this unity until we reach the fullness of Christ, until that fullness is manifested in us. It doesn't mean perfection. It just means growth. It means like being children and growing into adults. You remember when Jesus went up to the temple? Remember when he was a young boy and he went up to the temple and he got lost and his parents left? And it was like 3 days later they found, what? Where's Jesus? So they hightail it back to the temple and they find him, and he looks at him surprised. He's like, where did you think I would be? Did you not know that I was going to be in my Father's house? Duh. Listen to what it says in Luke 2:52. It says, Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. Jesus is the same Jesus who asks us to have childlike faith and to trust him alone for our spiritual maturity. And yet, holy cow, we know how hard it is, because we all like the next shiny object. Come on now, we do. We are so easily distracted. I was going to make a comment about flip phones. And then I realized Samsung's got this new flip phone that's like totally awesome that I want. Next shiny object, by the way. That's a, really? As we grow in our faith and we grow in our maturity, the unity comes. You see, we're not to be a body of believers who's distracted by the things of this world. Paul tells us in the book of Colossians, because remember the church of Colossae, man, it was having a hard time. They were buying into false teachings and all kinds of stuff. And Paul wrote to them and he said this. He said, "See that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition." Listen to this. "According to the elemental spirits of the world and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of the deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, he who is the head of all rule and authority." That elemental spirit that Paul's talking about, those are those worldly things that we get caught up, things that are not of Christ. Things like vaccines cause magnetism. Things like we're being implanted with RFID chips or chip Democrats or child sacrifice and cannibalistic Satan worshipers. We are not to be distracted by politicians and patriotism. Because I promise you, there are no R's, there are no D's, and there are no American flags in heaven. I promise you that. I promise you that we don't need to be focusing on who's kneeling at a football game. We need to be focused on who's kneeling before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Just because we don't agree with somebody's politics does not give us the right to say or spread gossip or hearsay. The Bible tells us, don't be one to spread a false report. That comes from Exodus. It goes on to say, anyone who claims to be religious and does not bridle his tongue, his religion is worthless. That comes from the book of James. And from the book of Proverbs, it says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. That's me climbing down off my soapbox. Let me get out my rabbit hole now. I'm sorry I chased that. Family, listen. Listen to what I'm telling you. Our focus needs to be on winning the lost. Our focus needs to be showing compassion to those that are broken. Our focus needs to be working with people to free them from the bondage of sin. But most importantly, is showing grace. Showing the same grace that was shown to us by Christ on the cross. That's who we're supposed to be. That's our truth. That's our truth in love that we must grow into. Because it is from him and him alone that the body grows and builds itself up. The reference to growing and building refers to an increased faith and a spiritual strength, not to increase size, but increase size is the manifestation of those two other things. Spiritual growth in Christ, with him at the head, happens. It happens because he supplies what we need through the Holy Spirit. That bond that we all have between us, it's represented by ligaments, right? Ligaments, what holds joints together. If you're a ball player and you have to have Tommy John surgery, it means the ligaments in your arm are torn. It means you can't throw. You can't use the spiritual gift, the amazing gift that God has given you to throw a ball. And believe me, it's a gift. If you play football, the athletics involved with your knees, tear a ligament in your knee, you're out for a year. We are held together, firm, united by this gift that Christ has given us. That's what holds us together. I mean, goodness gracious. I look around. And I see old, young, every walk of life, every difference. I see cultural differences. I see personality differences. I see differences from backgrounds and nations and, yes, languages like my Southern. But each of us together, family, each one of us together, we make up the body as a whole. And we're held together by that strong bond. And that strong bond should want us to make us grow, to grow together and grow our spiritual. I mean, to be spiritually. But it doesn't happen if we all work independently of each other. You know, each part of the body contributes to the degree that comes from Christ, whatever that spiritual gift is. We receive exactly what we need, no more, no less. And what we're given, we have a responsibility to use. And we have that responsibility to use it for the good of the whole, that we become mature, attaining the fullness of Christ. So we're not tossed about by the things that we hear on the news. And we're not tossed about by the things that just set us in motion in a different direction. Family, I love you guys, man. And I want to tell you, we receive our gifts not for our own reputation, not for our own approval, not for our own authority. We receive these gifts so that we can foster unity. That's what these gifts are for. That when we come together, the body of Christ grows together and grows up. So, Tony, we're going to start launching into our time of response here. I'm probably going to tell you guys something you don't know about me. I mean, looking at me. I'm going to tell you, I owe this to my wife again because I love her and she made me do this. And since she made me do it, I fell in love with it. I am a fan of the Philharmonics. I'm a fan of the symphony. You believe that? I'm like, dude, you look like you ought to be raised up in country. But I'm a fan of the Philharmonics. And you know why I'm a fan of it? Because when you get 100 people playing together, it's some of the most amazing music you've ever heard in your life. It just, it's, you feel the passion, you feel the emotion, you feel the harmony of all these instruments working together. Now, if you go to one of these symphonies, right, at the beginning, when they're all tuning up their instruments, oh my word. It's the most obnoxious racket you've ever heard in your life. Everybody's doing their own thing. And it's just, I mean, it's like fingernails on a chalkboard. And yet that conductor, he walks out, he lifts up his stick. And when they put their instruments together, beauty happens. People are moved. It's the same way with the church. It's the same way with us. It's the same way with you and me. When we're no longer self-absorbed, worried about where we're serving or who's doing what, and we focus on the harmony of the church and fulfilling the Lord's purpose for our life. Is the church not a beautiful thing? Is it not amazing that when we work together, amazing things happen? Lives are changed. Communities are changed. Christ has given each one of us a set of gifts. And he's given them as he sees fits according to our needs as a collective body. That's what this whole thing has been about. They're good for all of us, for the good of all of us. And so as we enter, as Tony continues on, I want to ask you guys this. I'm going to ask you some hard questions. I want to ask you this. What are you doing with your gifts? Huh? What are you doing with your gifts? Maybe the harder question is, do I even know what those gifts are? That's a hard question. Do I even know what those gifts are? As we start to wind this service down, what I'd like you guys to do is just listen to what Tony's playing out here, and just bow your heads and take this time to seek the Spirit and have Him reveal to you what is special about you, so that we can build up this body together, so that we can build this body together into what Christ calls it to be.